And I'm Kathy.
I'm Lindy.
And I'm Sasha.
And she's Sasha, indeed. And we're going to talk now about sex addiction. It seems like, the expression, but Tom, Dick, and every Tom, Dick, and his dog these days are sex addicts. So I want to find out if it's a real thing, firstly. Secondly, I want to talk about how accessibility to pornography, is it exacerbating the sex addiction, if it does exist? And thirdly, what do we do about it? So joining me in studio is Lee Joy. She's a specialized counselor. She's a speaker and a group facilitator. And we're talking about sex addiction, sexual behavior. What influences it? Yeah, welcome. I mean, it's no small topic, this.
Good afternoon, Kathy, Lindy, and Sasha, and the listeners today on Chai FM. What a pleasure to be here today.
It's
and
a pleasure to have you.
About my most passionate topic, sex addiction and compulsivity. Tom, Dick, and Harry have problems if they are struggling with their powerlessness and their lives are unmanageable due to their relationship with sex.
Really?
Relationship with sex is the hot topic today. So, yes, sex is a beautiful, sacred,
funky. It's an act of the deepest kind of love that you can.
And it can be funky as well. It can be fun. It doesn't have to only be like pretty, but it can be fun and that can be healthy. But when we're talking about sex addiction, we're talking about somebody's compulsivity and the relationship that they have with sex. So if their lives become unmanageable and they are powerless to the choices that they are making, they are no longer conscious about the choices that they are making with regards to their relationship to sex.
Okay.
So, yes, sex addiction is a thing.
The first time I ever heard of it was Tiger Woods. Mm. And I think for many people, the first time that they heard. And also, what's her name? Halle Berry's
husband.
Was it Mark Anthony?
Eric Benet.
And yeah. Michael Douglas was probably our first.
Was he the first? Yeah. He's the one who wanted to sue his wife. No, wasn't it Michael Douglas?
Michael Douglas is Catherine Zeta-Jones'
yes,
husband.
They were getting divorced at one point. Okay, let's put them out. They're like the anomaly.
They have an amazing marriage
But Tiger Woods, I mean, he had this beautiful wife. Mm. He seemed to have it all. Mm. Top of the world in terms of his career. He's clearly a loving husband, for all intents and purposes, looked like a successful guy. Mm. And then he has an affair. Mm. And then he has another affair. And it's just like a compulsion. Sometimes, I won't lie, I looked at this and I thought, he's just making excuses. He just wants lots of nookie. But how do you know if it's sex addiction? Is it purely on disrupting your life? So if something has... If an act has disrupted your marriage, for example, is that sex addiction?
Firstly, when I do an assessment for a sex addict, it's a very comprehensive assessment that I do. So our talks today, I'm going to try and be as general as possible so that you guys and our listeners can get a sense of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If I can talk about the three causes of sex addiction, maybe that'll bring some clarity. Number one is trauma. Now, not all sex addicts have experienced trauma. Two, the bonding that the addict has experienced. There are three types of bonding. And the bonding I'm talking about is not bondage. I'm talking about parental or caregiving relationship.
Bonding, right.
Yeah. And the third one is neural pathways. Now, porn addiction, your one question earlier was about porn addiction and how real is it in creating sex addicts. Beforehand, we looked at addiction in general, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, gambling, the other addictions. We looked primarily at bonding and trauma. With porn addiction, at least with sex addiction, we're seeing a whole segment of people that had no trauma and their bonding was fine at home, but they started watching porn from a very young age and it changed their neural pathways. It literally changed the way that their brains worked. So they became addicts due to porn.
Okay, but it doesn't only happen with sex and porn like that. It's also drugs. People who try drugs and have an addiction before the age of 15
like the neural pathways get developed.
Exactly, and it's like that for life.
Some neural pathways we can lessen, yes. So we can. It's not very eloquent. They can be minimized.
Reprogrammed.
So exactly. So even with sex addiction, they can be reprogrammed, and that's what the journey that I take my sex addicts on is, a journey of recovery. And we find ways to, when they are triggered, there are four different types of triggers: is low mood or depression, boredom, stress, and reward. Interestingly, some of my sex addicts have done really well at work, then they need to reward themselves.
What do you reward yourself with?
Porn or a prostitute.
Really? But doesn't that take you back if you're a sex addict?
So if you're in active addiction as a sex addict, yes, it throws you into the cycle of addiction.
Yes.
And there's six phases of sex addiction or of acting out. The first is a dormant phase. So that's where all the trauma and the unresolved, unhealed parts of us lie dormant. The second stage is triggers. So the triggers are the low mood, boredom, reward, and stress.
Yeah.
And then once they trigger, get thrown up into preparation stage. And preparation stage, they sit and they go, okay, when am I going to go and porn? How am I going to get hold of a prostitute? Where's the money going to come from if I go to the strip club?
Oh, they've really...
They have to have a whole plan. They're having it in their mind, yeah. So that is one of the most thrilling parts of sex addiction, is the preparation stage. It's not the actual act, because the actual act comes to an end very quickly.
So that's like gambling, isn't it?
It's exactly like gambling is also a process addiction. Sex addiction, food addiction, and gambling are all three process addictions, which means there's a process to getting recovery.
And what about narcotics? Isn't that also a process?
Narcotics isn't seen as a process addiction because you can literally pick it up and put it down. Whereas sex, you've got to learn how to have sexual, healthy sexual relationships. Food, you've got to learn how to eat healthily.
That's so interesting.
Gambling, you've got to learn how to work with money well. So that's why we call them process addictions. It's a process in learning how to have healthy relationships with food.
You mentioned that that trauma is a trigger for sex addiction. Can you give me an example?
We're living in such a traumatized society. I mean, apartheid is one huge trauma where we're sitting with literally millions of our communities that are traumatized, that are unhealed. It's not within the culture to seek help. Today is Nelson Mandela's 100th. Celebration where a lot of us are going out and trying to reach out and touch people's lives. And sex addiction is very much an imprisonment of the mind. And I loved that song that you played just before I came on about Sit With Me. And that's really what my passion is really about sitting with people. I feel very passionately about giving people the space to heal from that toxic shame. Because the trauma is creates a big hole in who we are. And in order for us to heal that trauma, we think that we're going to self-soothe through sex addiction or food or gambling. But today we're talking about sex. And we go into that loop of addiction where it doesn't actually self-soothe. We go into, after the acting out phase, we go into the regret phase, which is awful. It's what we call toxic shame. And that just sucks us into this horrible, deep place of ugliness. And so
it kind of fuels a fire.
It fuels
the cycle.
Totally.
Yeah.
So where trauma comes in.
Very interesting, this.
So trauma is, I mean, there's so many different types of trauma. There's sexual trauma, there's emotional trauma, there's physical trauma. Some of my sex addicts haven't actually been traumatized in any way, but their bonding was poor, and they started porn very young. So when their brains were developing, they had created those neural pathways. We are sitting in a highly, highly sexualized environment. Our sex sells everything from cars to
everything.
Apples.
Yeah.
So we're looking at, what does it mean to have a healthy relationship to sex? And I'm not saying everybody's a sex addict, but I'm saying that how we objectify ourselves and how we objectify women and how
we objectify men. Yeah, we objectify men here on the show all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes we just feel like we're drowning in estrogen.
Estrogen, yeah. And I think there's space to be, tongue-in-cheek and have some fun. But when it's debilitating and abusive, then it's a different story, And I think that I think that we're overvaluing sex in our society. I think that sex is a really beautiful thing. I think that our bodies are really beautiful. And I think that sharing and connecting, I work with corporates and I work with teenagers and I speak at schools. And with my teenagers at schools, we talk about connection. We talk about emotional presence.
Don't you think context is important as well?
Yeah, for
sure. Because, you know, there's something about casual sex that you will never, well, there's something about having sex in a long-term, meaningful relationship that casual sex will never, ever offer you, no matter how much fun it is.
Mm.
And that's where it comes back to context.
Mm.
Because the act itself is actually quite a holy act.
For sure.
If that's the context, then there's a different level, and it will feed you on a different level.
Exactly what my sex addicts are looking for. It's about connection.
Yeah.
They're looking for emotional connection.
Yeah.
When you're spiritual connection. And spiritual connection. Yeah. But I believe that we have emotional connection and then we're spiritually connected. I'm not so sure that it – anyway, we can go – that discussion we can have for 10 hours.
Yeah.
But
it's so interesting because it's like one of the most fundamental parts of life.
Mm.
You know, and also we need to sort it out in this country.
Mm.
We were actually talking last week. Lindy and I were saying that it's Zambia. Mm. Zambia has got a declining HIV rate because years ago, I'm talking about like 10, 15 years ago, they introduced an abstinence policy and they have a declining HIV rate. We as South Africans, we had a declining HIV rate, but now it's growing again. And it's growing at a far, it's like a bushfire.
Mm.
It's crazy.
And sex addiction and STDs go hand in hand. I mean, not all my sex addicts act out with prostitutes or multiple partners.
Yeah.
I have some of my sex addicts are primarily porn addicts, and they haven't acted out with strippers or prostitutes. But the sex addicts that I do have that are acting out, and we're talking about 10, 15 lovers a week, and
they're changing.
Part of the process of recovery is for them to go and do tests, and it's not pretty, you know. And that's I think it's important, if you don't mind me jumping in here, Kathy, is saying that sex addicts live in a compartmentalized world. So denial is so thick, that river of denial is so wide that they can literally cut off their acting out personality from their sober personality or non-acting out personality. Some of my sex addicts have had different names for those two people in their lives. They've literally split. So they're not schizophrenic, but they go out and they act
out. But it is a type of multiple personality disorder.
And it is a splitting off of the denial is the road that splits off the acting out person.
Okay, so it's like a cognitive dissonance almost. Okay, so we live in a society like that where people don't believe that you are what you do, right? So a guy who goes and commits fraud will say, but I'm not a fraudster. Well, you are, because you committed fraud and you are what you do. And when did it happen that as a society we started separating what we do from who we are?
It's such a beautiful question and such a profound question, and I'm not sure I'm going to do it justice today in answering it. But I think that responsibility, one of my clients said the most beautiful thing to me. We go from shame to grace when we come from sexual addiction into recovery. And he says that the bridge between shame and grace is vulnerability. And I think that when we're able to take responsibility for our behavior in what you're talking about, we first need to be vulnerable. And that takes immense amount of courage to be vulnerable and to say, hey, you know, I stuffed up. I made a mistake. You know, I wasn't thinking these were my – and where in there –
I'm sorry, how can I make it better? Mm. And if I can't make it better, how can I make it up to you?
Totally.
You know, how can I rebuild your trust, whatever it is?
You know, but can we hold the space for somebody to say, to allow them to say that? If we're standing and shouting at them, like, you're a fraudster, you're doing this, you're doing that, and we're shouting at them, it's very hard to go into a place of humility and into a place of vulnerability when we're being attacked, because we protect ourselves.
Yeah.
So can we start holding space for people and saying, let me hear about what's going on for you?
So interesting. This is such an interesting topic.
Thank you.
I'm actually going to share a link on my Twitter timeline. I was doing some research. This has been a fascinating topic about how the impact of pornography, the exposure to pornography on a society. And I don't know if you remember, but ETV, years ago, I took them to task. I took them to task live on air, and their program manager was horrified with me at the time because they were playing Saturday night. It was soft porn. Now, that's not my, it's not my thing, and it's okay if it's your thing. Whatever. You've got your decisions. I'll make mine. But I remember one Saturday night, they had a family movie, and I was lying on the bed with my kids. The TV was on, and I fell asleep and they fell asleep. And I woke up in the middle of the night. The TV was, of course, still on. And there was this pornography on the television.
Goodness.
If I could have taken, ripped that television out of the wall and thrown it into the garden, I would have done it that night. I cannot tell you. It was such an invasion of my world. Completely unsolicited. And since then, I've kind of looked at the impact of pornography on society. Now, there's a very good documentary that was done. It was done by a British journalist. And he looked at who benefits from the porn industry. You want to talk about your cellular providers, your cell phone providers, because today people are accessing pornography on their phones. And when they do that, it's charged at premium rates, like 25 rand a minute kind of rates. Okay, so it's not worth their while. Also, when you go into hotels, they stream these porn channels. You're talking about some of the world's best hotels. They did one of the markets that the United States porn market is investigating is Uganda. So you're talking about a village, very rural Uganda, on top of a hill. They don't have running they don't have running water. They don't have sanitation. They don't have refuse removal. They don't have electricity. But once a month, there's a generator brought in, and the whole town watches pornography. Jeez. Their rape statistics went through the roof. Through the roof. All of a sudden, women who had been sleeping with their husbands in one, you know, however they slept with their husbands, all of a sudden they were asking, these men were asking for things that their wives did not want to do, and they forced them to do it because they had seen it in the American porn videos or movies. And how do you fight something that has created such a demand for it? This is so beyond sex addiction, this talk. I mean, what we're talking about now, but it's...
No, I think it's valuable. I think it's valuable. I mean, I look at... Paula Hall is a lady that I'm studying under. I'm very excited to go and do some training with her in December. And they've done some research, Paula Hall and Associates. They've done some research that 20% of the teenagers in the UK are porn addicted. 20%. These young women are being
So it's actually Tom, Dick, and Sally.
Sally.
Yeah.
These young women are being objectified in porn, and then their boyfriends are expecting them, and the girlfriends, because the girls get me now, they're a girl sex addict. This is not just a boy thing. Both boys and girls are objectifying each other and expecting each other to be these sex goddesses. And what they desperately need is connection. What they're desperately wanting is to connect with another human being.
I can see it because look at the generation. The generation... Yeah. Listen, I think I've been critical enough about the generation. Do you give... workshops on this? Do you help people? So somebody listening right now suspects that they might be a sex addict. Have you got a list or a checklist that you can give us very quickly? You know, how to know if you are a sex addict?
I do a very extensive, it's a tricky question. I do an extensive assessment when you come and see me.
Yes.
I have, what might be useful is if you go on my website, which is www.leigh.com.
Because her parents did know how to spell. LeidJoy.co.za.
And if you go and look on the sex addiction tab, there's a sex addiction questionnaire that you can fill in, and those questions will, the answers will come to me, and within the next 24 hours, I'll be happy to answer and see how I can help you. There's a process through which I take my clients in recovery. So the best is to get hold of me either on 079-525-8991. I nearly gave you my husband's number there.
I'll tell you what, the best thing is going to be to remember how the website. And I'm sure that all your contact details are there. So it's LeidJoy, LeidJoy.co.za. Go and check it out. And if you suspect that you might be a sex addict, perhaps somebody that you know, love, your spouse, your partner, your significant other might be a sex addict. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying sex. It's when it disrupts your life and interrupts your life that instead of heading in the direction you should be, all of a sudden you're veering off somewhere else and you're doing strange things. So get in touch with Lee. Lee, thank you very, very much.
Such a pleasure.
I'll tweet that that link to you.
Thank you. I appreciate
you'll check
that.
It out. Thank you so much. That's LeidJoy. And she is a counselor. She's a speaker. She's a group facilitator. And we've been talking about sex addiction.